In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past week, we celebrated the great feast of Transfiguration. The transfiguration of Christ on the mountain before three of his disciples. There on that mountain, Jesus revealed to the disciples that he is the Son of God. Jesus, the Christ himself, the one who was born in Bethlehem, is the incarnate Son of God. About our humanity, it was revealed that our humanity is compatible with God's divinity. Our humanity was created in order to reveal the presence of God through each human being that is created. And God came into the world in order to reestablish that fact as a reality by using our humanity. He took our humanity, purified it, took it upon himself, descended from the right hand of the Father, the Son of God himself, purified our humanity, and revealed to the disciples both who he was and what we as human beings are capable of doing, revealing the presence of God. Now, all of us here are Orthodox, and yet we are not revealing the presence of God as it was revealed to the disciples on the mountain. Change is necessary. The true Christian faith is all about change. Right doctrine, right teaching, important. Right worship is the source of our faith and our life. It is where we come in order to see and remember what our life is to be out in the world. But we can't let these things just sit there on a shelf as doctrine and teaching. We can't just come to the divine liturgy and sing the hymns and say the words and not desire the change that God came into the world in order to make possible for us. We can't justify to ourselves why it is that we remain unchanged year after year, Pascha after Pascha. We find ways of justifying the way that we live our life in the world. We prefer the values and the doctrines and the teachings and the assumptions and the goods and things of the world to what we would be like if we were transformed. And by doing that, we reveal that we are not what God came in order to make it possible for us to be. When it comes to evangelization, we may be able to learn all of the doctrines and teachings and recite them to others. We may be able to learn the theology of icons and tell them all about it. We may be able to learn the history of the church. We may even be able to learn the things that the spiritual teachers who specialize in the change of souls have written and be able to tell other people about them. But we can only reveal the faith, the Christian faith, if we change, if we desire change, if we put at the top of all of the things that we value to please God, not others and not ourselves. When we repent in order to return to that path of movement toward Him. We don't fall into the temptation of justification or finding some way of making our spiritual life into a kind of standstill operation where we have lots of excuses and lots of repentance in words, but no real desire to move toward Him and leave ourselves in separation from God behind. It's only in that way that we can truly reveal the presence of the fullness of the Christian faith in America. How do we convert America? That's been the question in my mind and heart, and in the heart and mind of many for this past three decades that I've been a priest. And recently, I listened to a podcast on Ancient Faith Radio by Frederica Matthews Green, and I think she has the key. Now, when we think of the Orthodox peoples of the world, the Greeks, the Russians, the Romanians, the Bulgarians, all of the peoples of the world who have become Orthodox in the past, we can see that the way of being Greek or Russian or Bulgarian or Romanian or even Native American in Alaska became a way of being an Orthodox Christian. The culture was transformed to the point that those who were members of that culture didn't even realize that that was the case. It did cause some difficulty when they came to America for practical reasons, for jobs, to have a better way of life, and they were sure that their ethnicity contained the fullness of their faith. And so there was confusion there because they've come to America. Well, we specialize in confusion. There's always room for a little more. And so there was difficulty. But the question is, how do you convert the American people? Not how do we make it a project to convert the whole country as a nation, but how do we convert what it means to be an American into a way of being Orthodox? And I think Frederica Matthews Green, she doesn't mention this, I think she has discovered the way to do that. Her talk is called The Theology of the Laity. The Theology of the Laity. What on earth can that possibly mean? Well, she gives some examples to help us to understand what she's talking about. Most of them have to do with how we are in Americans and how we go about living life in churches in America. She says that Americans, this is true of Western Christians in general, want to have some sort of authority or be that authority. Either we want to be able to say, this is how it is, or we want to be able to refer to someone else and say, well, they say this is how it is, and I agree. Somebody needs to lay down the doctrines and teachings. Well, we just said, being a Christian is not about laying down doctrines and teachings. It's about a path. It's a way of life. It's living a holy life, not by being perfect. Christ is perfect. We are not going to be perfect. But we live toward that perfection. We evaluate ourselves in the light of his perfection, in the light of his way of life. We repent of all of those things that we do that don't fit with that way of life. We don't whittle it down so that it's livable according to the terms of the world. We don't adjust it to our own worldly values, our material values, and say, look here, I think this material way of life is actually a spiritual path of its own. And look here, I can back it up in Scripture. That's what we're used to doing as Americans. Now, she can't possibly be talking about a laity that does that, because that way leads the same kind of chaos that produced the thousands of denominations and sub-denominations that we have in America. She's got to be talking about something else. Still, Americans do want authority. And she gives three examples of how authority has worked in the West, in the church. What is the ultimate authority for the Roman Catholic? The Pope. What is the ultimate authority for the Baptist? The Bible. Of course, you have the problem of interpretation. and you have as many interpretations as you do people. But that's the ultimate authority. What is the ultimate authority for the Episcopalian? The last pastor. That's what she says. So you're willing to accept whatever this person says, male or female these days, if you're an Episcopalian, and you put yourself under their teaching. And when they leave, the new one comes, and they've got a difficult path, difficult road to hoe, because it's always, well, Father so-and-so said. That's the way we've always done it. It's always amazed me how short a period of time it takes before someone is willing to say, that's the way we've always done it. I mean, is it a year? Is it a month? Is it a week? Depending, little edge on it, that's the way we've always done it. Always? Always? 2,000 years? Because if you're Orthodox and we say that's the way we've always done it, that's what we mean. We don't mean since the time of the coming of the previous priest. We mean that's the way it's always been. And as your first permanent priest, I know I look like I'm getting younger, but I'm not. And there will come a time when someone will follow me. And I don't ever want somebody to say, that's what Father Jacob said. That's the way we did it when Father Jacob was here. Now, what can I do about that? I can say, look, whoever comes after me, you do it the way they do it. They're your priest now. Forget everything I've said, and you follow them. Well, we're not Episcopalians, so that won't work. It's time for something new in our life as a parish. We need to be moving toward a situation where we can count on ourselves as members of the body of Christ here in Tekoa to be able to recognize Orthodox Christian ways of living, Orthodox Christian ways of understanding the world around us, and be able to make a distinction between the two and not be dependent on the authority of some particular individual, including some particular priest, or even including some particular bishop. For a Western Christian, it's different. Protestants, maybe in particular, very independent. Frederica Matthews Green gives this example. She says that once there was a person who was stranded on an island for years and years, a very faithful and devout Christian person. And when someone finally comes to rescue him, they find there are two churches there. One person, two churches. And they ask him, why do you have two churches? And he said, this is the church I go to now. That's the church I used to go to. If we're approaching Christian life in this kind of way, we can argue within ourselves about how things are, change our minds, start out one way, say, this isn't the way it is, I'm leaving this place, I'm going somewhere else. You don't even need to have a group of people. You can have division, even within yourself, and not know, do I go this way, do I go that way? Orthodox don't have that problem. According to Frederica Matthews Green, and I think she's right, the way Orthodoxy has remained itself, down through the ages, across cultures, is because the people of the Orthodox faith have made it a way of life for themselves as human beings, to the point that they can recognize a departure from the faith when it occurs. She gives this example. In 1993, there was an event, was called the Parliament of Religions, and representatives of religions from all over the world came to this parliament. And they wanted to have oneness. They wanted to be able to state something together. And all of the representatives from all of the world's religions, including an Orthodox Christian representative, made this statement that the differences between us are on the surface. That ultimately, there is one God, and we all worship him in different ways. And there was a monk who served a parish in Brooklyn, New York. This is an unidentified monk. Let's not try to find out who it was. A monk in Brooklyn is a strange thing anyhow. But it was a monk serving a church in Brooklyn, and he went to this parliament, and he gave his presentation, and he affirmed, was able to affirm the same things that the Hindus and the Muslims and the Sikhs and all of the other representatives of all the world's religions affirm. Ultimately, we all believe in the same God. The differences between us are superficial. And when he went home to Brooklyn and he tried to open his church, he found that his key didn't fit. They changed the locks. This is a scary thing for Frederica Matthews Green to say, for somebody like me. I've served in parishes in the Northeast where things like that have happened, but they haven't happened, except in this example that she gives, for a reason as good as this. Arguments have developed in parishes. Immigrant churches, people whose parents or grandparents came from the old country, whatever the old country was, they would come to America, and they came with this conviction that their way of life and their faith were one. Some of them came from Unia. They had been, we can't go into a history lesson, but some of them had come from that background, and so they'd only recently returned to Orthodoxy. But they had the conviction ingrained that their understanding was the understanding of the faith. And that worked in Russia, in Romania, in Greece, many, many places, and held the faith unchanging and intact. It was the faith of the people. It wasn't something that was imposed on them by the authority of a pope or a bishop or even a priest. We tend to expect that. There have got to be authorities. Who's going to impose the faith on us now that Metropolitan Jonah is no longer the Metropolitan? Well, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. The faith doesn't come from the top down. Change of administration doesn't change the identity and the reality of the hospital. Who does the work in the hospital? Not the administration. Of all the doctors and all the nurses and all the attendants left, and you had an intact administration and you went to the hospital, you'd be out of luck. It's not the administration and the top-down authority that does what a hospital does. And it's the same way in the church. All the bishops are bishops. We don't have a pope. But if our administration is temporarily being taken care of by someone else, it's only someone who believes that the authority comes from the top and is somehow imposed on us that gets shaken up by that. We are all responsible for the faith, all of us together. There has been a church in history where it was believed that there should be a top bishop, a pope, and bishops below him, and then priests below them, and they have the authority, and we follow. Whatever they say, we go along with. That's not the Orthodox Church. There's no process of transformation at the center of that way of understanding things. That's not our understanding of what it means to be the church. And so it seems to me that the time has come for us to begin to stop functioning as though the Orthodox faith is something imposed on us that we have to learn out of a book and discuss as though it were a set of propositions. Maybe there is some alternative way of understanding this particular thing. Let's talk about it. That's not the way to approach it. We need to change ourselves so that we can understand those things that we don't understand. And how do we do that? We do that by following the spiritual life. Not by trying to carve out a me-shaped space where I am safe to be myself, even though I'm an Orthodox Christian. That's going to be our tendency as Americans, to come, to participate, find out what the rules are, and obey the rules. Well, it won't work. That approach works for someone when they want to keep their lives unchanged. And you go to a church and you want to know, what are the rules? And you want to hear about a set of rules that doesn't pinch too much, that doesn't make it impossible for us to remain who we are. And if there is a rule like that, well, there's always another church, a church that doesn't have that rule. But we want to know what those rules are. Because if we approach things by having a set of rules that the church gives us that we have to follow in order to be orthodox, everything that isn't specifically mentioned in those rules, or everything that we can't somehow adjust in the rules to fit our own way of understanding by reinterpreting everything, is open, free. We can live as we please. We can be Americans and go to that church. I go to the clergy association here in Stevens County. I always feel a little strange. Imagine that. I mean, I'm the only one with a cassock and a 4-inch cross, that's true. But that's not the reason. Went to a breakfast several months ago. And they're nice people, they're good people. I like them, you know. One of them said to me, it is good for us all to be different. He was accepting me. He was being accepting. I'm different, you're different, it's okay. We're all different. It's good for us to be different. That way people are free to choose. And I thought, you have just justified our having absolutely nothing in common with one another as Christian clergy. And the fact of the matter is, we really didn't. We really didn't. And that was a good thing, as far as he was concerned. Denominational Christianity, what a great idea, only in America. And Orthodox, we can be a denomination just like everybody else. No, we can't. No, we can't. It's not an option. The theology of the laity, we have to change and become such that rather than adjusting the faith to fit our secular lifestyle, we are willing to judge our secular lifestyle and values and not claim that they are the real standard and somehow fight to have them fit in, but be willing to be judged by this timeless faith that is the same now as it was in the beginning. And if we enter into this spiritual process, we will change. But that's what we're here to do. We are here to be changed. And it has happened before. It has happened in all of those other countries. And if it hadn't happened, there wouldn't be an Orthodox Church. The doctrines, you could write them down, and they stay the same because they're written in a book. But it is the living tradition of people living life as Christ made it possible to live it. Not perfectly, but always taking Christ as the ultimate and absolute standard of how our life ought to be. That puts you on the road. It puts you on the path. You begin to move in that direction, you begin to change. And if all of the rest of us are doing the same thing, and we all begin to change, and we are all moving in that direction, then we are an Orthodox Church. That's what it means to be an Orthodox Church. And even though they're all different, even though all of the nationalities are different, even though all of the individuals are different, even though they're living and dealing with different lives and different sins, and that's why we can't judge each other, you know, because we're too busy living our own life. Even though they are living different lives and they're completely different persons, they are doing the same thing. They are transforming what God gave them to deal with toward Him. And that's what we've got to do. If we don't accomplish that, not translating all of the fathers into English, not having an absolutely excellent administration and good bishops, will save Orthodoxy in America and make us able to convert Americans into Orthodox. What does it take? It takes each one of us as the person that we are. We're good at that as Americans. We need to learn we've got nobody to deal with but ourselves. And now we've got a specific path to follow. And all of us get to be individuals. You don't have to worry about it. Fear of losing your uniqueness, your individuality, it's some kind of a psychological disorganization. You can't escape the fact that you are who you are. You're stuck with that. Deal with it. That's the hand you've been dealt. But all of us as human beings are meant to move in the same direction, toward Christ, transforming ourselves in different ways, revealing God in the different ways that are unique to the persons that we are. And we don't need to worry about losing track of who we are. God created us all individually. We don't need to compare ourselves with one another. All of that is a waste of time. This is our calling as Americans who turn to the Orthodox faith in order to be transformed. Now, some come not to be changed, but for some other reason. People come to churches, including the Orthodox Church, for all kinds of reasons. Things that they're looking to get out of it. Sometimes people come to hospitals, not because they want to be healed, but because they want other things that you can only get by being in a hospital. We come here to be changed. We don't come here in order to find some resource that will enable us to remain as we are. That's the critical difference. And if we are able to be changed, then perhaps another generation, the church will be able to trust the Orthodox people of America to keep the church from changing the theology of the laity, the living theology, the living life of a living tradition, living because it is lived out in the life of each person. The church will be able to trust us with the burden of living the faith and passing it on to a new generation. It can't be done by indoctrination. It can't be done in Sunday school. It can't even be done in seminary. You have to go there to be changed. That's the new phase. We have a building. We have icons. We look Orthodox. We sound Orthodox. We need to be the persons that God created us to be, that we can only be through Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.